Would you turn again to Philippians, the fourth chapter this evening, please? Philippians 4, there's a wonderful verse down here in verse 13. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, look on with your neighbor there. What does it say? It says, I can. I can get happy about those two words right there. Because there's somebody always trying to tell me I can't. Virtually everything, I guess everything we've ever stepped out to do for the Lord, somebody told me I couldn't do it. And if you've done, you know, endeavored to follow the Lord and obey Him, then you've been told you can't. And it's sad that a lot of people just believe that and sit down. You can't. Oh, you can't. You can't. You can't. Not you. But the Bible says you can. If you'll make it personally and say it like this, I can. I can. Now maybe in your own education and smarts and strength and with the money you could work up, maybe you can't. But you can do all things through the Anointed One, oh glory to God, who strengthens you, because He does not get weary. He does not faint. There is no end to His strength. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Don't turn there, but we were talking about that this morning. Verse 3 said, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in Thee. But the very next verse, verse 4 says, Trust in the Lord, for in Him is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord, because in Him is everlasting strength. Aren't you glad to know He will never run out? Yeah. Never. You never get to the end of His strength and His ability. It's hard for our minds to wrap around things like that, but it is the truth. He will never run out. In fact, He will never peak. I mean 10 million years into heaven and eternity, God will not have to start showing us reruns. Huh? He will not have to say, well, you know, you've seen it all. No, I mean, that's it, guys. That's all. No. The Bible says in Ephesians that in the ages to come, endless ages to come, He is going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace. Oh, we don't have a clue what that means. But your spirit can get excited about it. Because your spirit knows things your head don't know. But I tell you, it's going to go something like this. We're going to be in heaven for 10,000 years, and we're going to be so excited. We're going to be so amazed and so thrilled and so satisfied. And the Father's going to say, you like this? We're going to go, oh. He said, look at this. And He's going to unfold, and we're all going to go, ooh, ah, wow. And then when you think it couldn't get any better and you've seen and heard it all, He's going to say, you like this? We're going to go, oh yeah. He said, look at this. And He's going to unfold something else. We're all going to go, ooh, ah, wow. This is going to go on for the ages to come. You got to talk in tongues and then you can't tell the half of it. In the ages to come, He's going to show, and that word means reveal and unveil and disclose to us the exceeding riches of His grace. And it's going to take eternity, and He's never going to run out, and He's never going to peak. He's God. Almighty Creator of heavens and earth. And in Him is everlasting strength. And there's all kind of things that'll tell you you can't do this and you can't do that, and maybe in your own strength and smarts you can't. But you're not alone. He's in you and you're in Him, and in Him you can do all things through the Christ who strengthens you. Can you say amen? Glory. We've been talking for, this is our fourth session now with you, I guess, about becoming stronger. And I believe it's a word from the Lord. I don't believe I'm smart enough to just think all this up by myself. And I believe He is answering our prayers and He is talking to us. We know that there's more in God, but sometimes I think we're waiting on Him. We think we're waiting on Him. And it's just not true. If we become stronger, we will be able to lay hold of what's already available to us. And the stronger, you know, people think, well, we're waiting on God, we're waiting on God. No, are you sure about that? What has He already done? What is already available to us? And the truth is, so many are sitting back, not appropriating, not advancing. They're thinking small, they're talking small, they're believing small, they're putting up with all kind of stuff they don't have to, and it is not because it's God's will, and it's not because we're waiting on God's plan, it's simply because people's strength is so small. And as we become stronger, we think bigger. We reach bigger. We talk bigger. We confess bigger. We sow bigger. We claim bigger. Right? Amen. And we begin to really reach out and lay hold of what's always been ours in Christ. And we talked about how, and if you weren't with us, like Pastor said, the CDs are available. Catch up with us. But we talked about how do you get built up? What if you are weak? How can you get built up? The Bible said the word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God's word has put strength into your spirit and makes you strong on the inside. That's where the strength for your mind comes from. That's where the strength for your body comes from. It all comes from your spirit. And if you get your spirit built up, Proverbs 18:14 said, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him even in bodily pain and trouble. What will get you through the worst attacks? A strong spirit. But it went on to say a weak spirit, a broken spirit, who could raise up or bear? When your spirit's weak, that's a problem. But the Word of God will build it up. Feed your faith on the Bible. Read the Bible for yourself. Feed on good materials. Go to church and be at good services. Get fed. How many can see there are so many people that just don't have a clue how important it is that they get their spirit fed on a regular basis? We see it. Pastors see it all the time. People come in and they have a crisis and they want you to sit down and pastor them. And, you know, and tell them what to do. But the issue is, I mean, they came to church for a little while and then everything was going pretty good. And so they just lay out and lay out and lay out and come once a month and then come once every 6 months and then don't come. And then boom, here's a problem. And they hadn't been coming to church regularly for months or even years. And they want to come in and they want you to give them in an hour or two counseling session what they were supposed to have been getting fed by the Word of God two or three, four times a week for the last 2 years. And it just doesn't work that way. God can have mercy on you, but there's no way you're going to be built up to handle this the way you should as if you had been getting fed properly week in, week out, month after month. If you'll obey the Lord and be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and hearing what you're supposed to, you will not be caught off guard. The Lord will always have you ready. He'll always have you ahead of the devil's devices. Right? You'll be read up and fed up and prayed up and strengthened up. And when it comes, you'll just say, ha, I'm ready. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus. You won't crumble, you won't fall, you'll be strong. But it doesn't happen by accident, and it doesn't happen by laying out of church and not praying and not reading your Bible and goofing off. His Word will build you up. We also saw that you can build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? We talked about that. But now this morning we begin to get into something else. I said, the Lord had taught me some years ago that it was possible to feed yourself on the Word and to pray in the Spirit and do these things and still be weak. I didn't see that at first, but the Lord showed me it's like a tub. You got the faucet on and the water's running in full blast, but what if you don't plug the drain? If you don't plug the drain, even though you've got water coming in, it can be going out just as fast or faster than it's coming in, and it's not going to fill up. Well, even though you have strength coming into you, if you don't get rid of the drains on you, it can sap the strength that is coming in. And we talked about the drain of fear. Oh, fear will drain you. Worry will drain you. It's not okay to come in and get built up for an hour on Sunday morning and then go out and worry the rest of the week. That's not going to work. You got the drain going for, you know, 6.5 days and you had something coming in for an hour. Do you see why people are in a deficit and why this doesn't work? Now, I want us to look at something else this evening. And are you believing God with me?
Yes.
I would ask you to. Believe God with me. Let's look at something else. Go with me, please, in the Scripture to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Down about the 40th verse or so, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and this is right before He went to the cross. And Matthew 26:41, actually. 26:41. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, listen to the language here. All of this is significant, of course. That you didn't do what with temptation? Enter into it. Nobody, including the devil, can make you sin. Nobody can make you sin. You know, people talk about, you know, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He can't. I said he can't. The devil can't make anybody do anything. Oh, he'd like to. But he can't. What he can do, listen to the Scripture. In James, it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He said, don't say that. Because God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does He tempt any man, you could say, with evil. He does not. But every man is tempted. Now, here's how it works. Every man is tempted when he or she is drawn away of their own lust. That's not the devil. That's your desires. Did you hear me? And enticed. That's the devil. The devil, all he can do is work on your desires and entice you. And depending on your desires, he has little or much to work with. All he can do is dangle the carrot and tell you how good it would be. And paint you pictures and talk to you and try to set it up. But he cannot make you enter the door. Did you hear this? Watch and pray that what? That you enter not into temptation. Now there's so much here. And that's why I ask you to believe God with me. The Scripture said that the writer writing to his sons in Proverbs, he warned them about the wayward woman, the harlot, the prostitute, and this is what he said. He said, don't go near the door of her house. How many understand if you don't go down the street, then you're not going to go in the house? Right? But if you turn down the street, you're already closer to going in the house. And the devil is a liar and he's a deceiver, and he knows that for a child of God it's not going to work to just get you right off the top of the bat to say, yeah, I don't care about God, I'm going to sin. No, he's got to be craftier than that. So he will agree with you. No, we're not going in the house. We're just going to ride by the street. Oh, no, no, we're not going in the house. No. But let's go by the street. And he'll get religious on you. Now, what we need to know is just see this sin for ourselves so we can understand it and pray about it better. And then you get down by the house and you say, well, you can't see much here outside. To really know the spirit of what these people are going through and to help them with deliverance, you need to go inside so you can really know what's going on. He can't make you sin. But he can, listen to it again. Every man, every woman is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust. Lust just simply means strong desire. When people hear lust, they think sex, but you can have a strong desire for a cake. Or a car, right? Or a strong desire to sleep and not get up. Right? I mean, strong desire. But the desire is what pulls you. And the devil works with that desire and entices and paints the picture for you. Now, he won't show you the death that goes with it, but he wants to make it look good and you know, show you how nobody's going to know. And he'll be the very one who tells on you. Do you have this verse? Watch and pray so that what? So you don't enter into the temptation. Keep reading. What did Jesus say? The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. Now what's about to happen here? They're about to come and take him. Right? And take him to the mock trial and then the scourging and then the cross. And he's told them just not too long before this, he said, all of you are going to leave me. And he quoted the scripture. He said, the shepherd is going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. And they said, oh, no, no, no way. No, we will never leave you. If we have to die with you, we will not leave you. And Peter was the most vocal, wasn't he? And I think he meant it. Because when it started going down, he didn't run. He pulled his blade. Didn't he? He did not run. He pulled his blade. He's not a soldier. He's a fisherman. And fight and train professional soldiers is not a good idea when you're a fisherman. But he did. He pulled his blade and he waded into him. And I don't think he was trying to clip the guy's ear. I think he was trying to cut his head off. But what he wound up doing was cutting the guy's ear off. But he's trying. I think he knew he could die doing this. But he was ready to. But Jesus knew what he was talking about. He said, no, all of you are going to leave me tonight. And when Peter got so vocal, he said, no way, Lord. No way. If I have to die, I will not deny you. I will not leave you. Jesus looked at him and said, tonight, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny that you even know me. He said, no way. Wrong answer. When the Lord tells you something, you don't argue with him. Huh? You don't get in the Lord's face and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Ain't no way I'm a... The Lord looks at you with those piercing eyes and says, listen to me. Before in the morning you will deny me. It's time for you to hit your knees and go, oh Lord, what can I do? Well, he told them what to do. Watch and pray. So what'd they do? Slept. Now we can't throw any stones. Because we all been there, right? But could it have been different? What if they had put their flesh under and not been weak, but been strong and watched and prayed and paid more attention to what he said? Could it have gone differently? Yes, it could. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He didn't say the spirit was strong, but the flesh was weak. No. The spirit is what? The strength that's in the flesh comes from the spirit. So weakness through the flesh comes back to weakness in the spirit. Now, go with me if you would. Let's see, to the book of Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 16. I got some exciting things to talk about tonight. And I've got some sobering things to talk about tonight. Can you handle both of them? Ezekiel 16. Now, this is kind of graphic, but that's how the Bible is. The Bible tells it how it is. Ezekiel 16 and 28. He said, "You have played the whore with the Assyrians because you were unsatiable. You have played the harlot with them and yet could not be satisfied." Now, let's just stop right here. Did you know that that's how the flesh is? The more you yield to it, the more it wants. There is no satisfying the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. The more your eyes see, the more they want to see. And the more you yield to the flesh, the more it wants. You know, people sometimes, they look at people that are in perverted things and they think, "Oh, dear Lord, I'd never do anything like that." Yes, you could get there. You know how they got there? Sometimes it just started with one simple thing. Addiction. I mean, people don't think that they're going to wind up completely obsessed and controlled by a drug when they smoke their first joint. Or when they take a pill, when they take one beer. But then that's how the flesh is. It can't be satisfied. And it used to, a six-pack or two would do it. Now it takes two cases. Used to, it was a fifth or two. Now you drink all day long, right? Used to, it just look, but now looking's not enough, right? And it just gets more and more perverted and more twisted, and there is no end to how far down you can go when you yield to your flesh. So what's the solution? Don't start. Just don't start down that road. Right? There's a very simple little two-letter word that you need to use on your flesh frequently. N-O. No. And you need to use it frequently in more than one area. Putting your flesh under in one area will help you in putting your flesh under in other areas. Right? If you can't say no to a candy bar, that's a sign you wouldn't say no to something else. Did you hear me? It's all tied together. You need to say no on a regular basis to things your flesh wants to do, but you just say no. And your flesh will cry and it wants whatever it wants, but you say no. Something that you like, something you want. I didn't say that you have to say you're never going to have it again, but you know, people say, "Oh, I can quit that anytime I want to." Show us. Stop it for a week. 30 days. Show us. And you just cut it off for a day. And oh, your flesh will cry and it will demand. How many know your flesh has a voice? Woo, it'll talk to you all day long. And that just keeps, thoughts keep coming to you. Oh, let's just get it. I mean, why do we got to, we don't have to prove anything. Let's just get it. Yeah. Prove it. Say no. Put your flesh under. Now what? Notice what he went on to say. He said, "You kept on doing this and you weren't satisfied." And verse 29, he said, "You have moreover multiplied your fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet you were not satisfied herewith." They kept reaching out and doing more and more and perverted. Verse 30, get this phrase now. What does it say? Verse 30, "How weak is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman." He said, what this is showing is how weak your heart is. How weak your insides are. Why do people keep yielding to sin? Oh, they feel so terrible about it. The next day, I'm talking about people, I'm talking about saved people now. You know, we like to come, sit up in church, and act like everybody's sanctified and living right. But people are doing all kind of stuff. Christians, right? They're doing all kind of stuff. They're having affairs. They're doing drugs. They're staying up all night on the internet, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And then they come to church and they feel so bad. And they get up the next day and they feel so bad, they're condemned. But guess what happens tomorrow night? Same thing. Now, I'm going to say quite a few things, but what you ought to do is just look straight ahead and smile. Don't get too serious because you'll draw undue attention to yourself. Just look straight ahead and smile, and once in a while I go, "Amen, Brother Keith." Yeah, somebody needs to hear that. And there's no need in you raising your hand or anybody knowing. Now, if you need to, after the service, you may need to go and fall across your bed and go, oh, God, that was me, and repent. But nobody in here has to know. But this is happening on a huge, large scale. People are yielding to their flesh. They're overriding their consciences. They know it's not right, and yet they do it again and again and again and again, and they just feel terrible, terrible, but they go back tomorrow night and do it again. Why? This verse right here, why? Because their heart, their spirit is so weak. I'm talking about preachers and men and women of God, all walks of life. It's quiet in here, ain't it? How can we get free? You need to get stronger. I said you need to get stronger. I said you must become stronger and quit playing church and quit pretending like you don't have any problems. Now, you don't have to tell everybody and their brother, but you got to quit playing games with it and pretending and acting like it's not there because it's eating your lunch. Right? It's messing up everything about your life. Don't let the devil have that satisfaction. You do not have to live trying to hide all your lies and junk. You do not have to live in continual guilt and shame and condemnation. That's what Jesus came to deliver you from. So that you could be completely free and have a sense of righteousness and holiness. You can be clean. I said, you can be clean. You can be free. I don't care what you've done. You can be completely free and clean. There is strength in the Lord. More than enough. Now let me talk about this a little bit. Desires are the issue here. Let me quote it again. Every man is tempted when he or she is drawn away of their own lust. That's an old English word for desires, strong desires. Desires are strong or weak according to how much you feed them. Let's say you want a car. Maybe you just thought about getting a car, but what if you go down to the new dealership and look at one? Do you want it more now? And you got it. What if you go drive it? And it's better than you thought it was. Oh, now you really want it. Right? I know I went to a dealership one day, and I stand there looking at this car, and this salesman came up, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, I'm just looking. He said, "That's how it starts." Good or bad? How many understand, where did the fall start? Adam and Eve standing out there by the forbidden tree and the fruit, doing what? Looking at it. That's where it started. Out there looking at it, thinking about it, and that opened the door for the devil to talk to him about it. Right? One thing led to another. Okay, so you drive it. I mean, you were kind of wanting a new car, but after going and looking at it for half a day and driving it all around, and then you got one of them new four-color brochures and took it home with you, and you read it all night. What's happening? The desire for this thing is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the stronger it gets, what does it do? Then you're trying to figure out ways to make it happen. To act on it. Feed desires, they become stronger. Starve desires, they become weaker. It's a law. Desires, wrong desires, I should say, are like a stray cat. What do you mean? Stray cat, come to your back door, meow, meow. You come out and you go, oh no, kitty, I don't need a cat and I don't want a cat. No, no, you have to go. But here's a nice can of gourmet cat food. And you dish it out. And you feed the cat and you're stroking his head and go, but now you can't stay. No, kitty, you can't stay. You have to go. What's reality? You got you a new cat. Tomorrow morning, meow, meow, meow. And you go, no, kitty, no, I told you no. But here's two cans of gourmet cat food, but you have to eat these and go. You can't stay, but here. That evening, meow, meow. No, kitty, no, no. Now I don't want you. I don't want you. You can't stay, but here's three cans of gourmet cat food. 3 months, you'll be laying on the ground with the 20-pound cat sitting on your chest, crying, going, no, kitty, no, I don't want you, no, you have to go, but here's 50 cans of gourmet. You feed it, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get stronger and it's going to stay. Desire for food, desire for money, desire for sex, desire, whatever it is. The reason it grips people and it dominates their thinking all day and all night is because they have fed it. They have watched things they shouldn't have watched and read things they shouldn't have read and listened to things they shouldn't have listened to, and they did it until it got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until now it torments them. Good news, though. You want the cat to leave? Stop feeding the cat. Oh, for the first several days, you'll have a lot of meow, 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 meow. But don't do it. Don't do it. If you don't want the cat, don't feed the cat. And the cat will lose weight, and the cat will make a lot of noise, and scratch the screen door, and yow, and yow, and yow. But eventually, what will that cat have to do if you don't feed it? Have to go somewhere else. Right? And it is possible, I don't care if you think that you have become a sex fiend or covetous to all you can think about is money or whatever it is, you just lie for no reason. You can starve that stuff. I didn't say it all be gone in a moment or a day, but you can starve it. And day after day, it'll get a little weaker and a little weaker, and then within a few weeks, you'll go all day and not think about it but a time or two. And then another few weeks, you'll go all week and only think about it one time. And then weeks and months, you'll go for weeks, not even think about it. You'll be free. I said you'll be free. But you got to stop feeding wrong desires and start feeding your spirit on the Word of God. Right? Turn off that bad show and get the Bible out. Huh? Don't go to that peep show. Go to church. Right? Don't meditate on that. Don't focus. Don't feed it anymore. Starve that and feed good desires. We're supposed to have good desires. In fact, the Bible said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Are we supposed to have strong desires? We're supposed to want God so much and be so hungry for God and so desirous of the gifts of the Spirit that that's what we crave. Oh, we crave the manifestation of God. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible said, you'll be filled too. Whatever you crave, whatever you hunger for. He said, you do all these things and you yield and are just whorish to the ends of the earth because your heart is so weak. Sin weakens you. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there, but in Job 17:9, the righteous shall hold his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Did you hear that? He that has clean hands, clean your life up. What'll happen to you? You'll get stronger and stronger in God. It's written. Glory to God. I'm reminded of a man named Samson. You remember him? A man named Samson. Called of God from birth. Had an anointing on his life to deliver the nation. His anointing was strength. Literally. But it was supernatural strength. And he did great exploits in this strength. And God was honored. And the enemies of God saw that there was a God in Israel through him and through his life. But he wouldn't live right. Always wanting what he wasn't supposed to have. His priest told him, his mom and daddy told him, don't chase Philistine women. We're not supposed to be with... Find you a nice Jewish girl. But no, he wanted a Philistine hussy. It's the kind of woman he wanted. Right? And you know the story, boy, he found him one. Didn't he? Oh man, he finally found one that was more than what he could deal with. Delilah. And she didn't care about him. He looked like something she could use. Something she could make some money on. And so she pled with him to tell her his source of strength. And just nagged him and rode him and nagged him. And oh, if you love me, you'd tell me. Oh, if you love me. And finally he said, well, it's an anointing. It's from God. And if you tie me up with some fresh green ropes, it'd go away. Well, she goes right out and tells his enemies. They come right in and tie him up. And they go, Samson, the Philistines are here. And he jumps up and breaks them off. Oh, you lied to me. You lied to me. You didn't tell me where your strength was. Now, he ought to be getting a clue. He told her something. She went right straight and told the enemies and tied him up. But sin blinds you. You can't keep yielding to sin and have understanding. There is no wisdom in sin. If you looked at the end of it and where it was going, you'd quit. But the devil's a deceiver. And there's darkness in it. And all he can think about is Philistine women. Ooh, these Philistine women. Got to have me a Philistine woman. So he kept going back, and he kept going back, and he kept going back. And he'd jump up, and he would fight, and he would slay the Philistines. But there's a real problem here. How many understand you can't slay Philistines and sleep with Philistines? does not work. Oh, you can do it for a while, but the clock's ticking. It's just a matter of time. This ain't going to work. You got to make up your mind. I'm either against Philistines or I love Philistines. And depending on what time of the day it was, he had a different answer. Are we fighting Philistines or loving Philistines? He said, what time is it? Oh, I'm through fighting. I'm going to find me a Philistine woman. Well, I know we laugh about it, but how many know these kind of things are happening today? They're happening in believers' lives and in ministers' lives. I don't care what kind of call you've got on your life or what kind of anointing in your life. You cannot yield to the devil and yield to your flesh and yield to your flesh. Even though the mercy of God is great, eventually it's going to cost you. Right? And people say, well, God will forgive me. Yes, he will. But this is something a lot of ministers haven't seen this. I've tried to tell this to some of the ministers that we minister to, but people say, well, you know, I've messed up for the ninth time, but God will forgive me, and when he forgives me, you know, it's gone. Yes, but you can disqualify yourself from the place. God won't hold it against you. He still loves you. He will forgive you, but being forgiven is not the same thing as being qualified. Did you hear me? I've told, one of the first things I told our people when we started the church, I'd never pastored before, so I'm looking to the Lord for every step of the way, which I think everybody ought to do anyway. And one of the first things the Lord prompted me to tell them, I said, you know, you're coming here, you're trusting the Lord, but you're also trusting that he called me, and you're following me. And so I'm telling you, I will not lie to you. I will not steal your money. I will not sleep with your wives and daughters. I'll honor this place. Did you hear me? Well, they're trusting me, aren't they? They are trusting me not to steal the money. They're trusting me not to lie to them. They're trusting me not to betray confidence. Well, what if I do? What if I lie to them? What if I steal the money? What if I sleep with their wives and daughters? Well, then I don't qualify for their trust. Is that right? Well, now everybody agrees with that wholeheartedly when you're talking about the preacher. But it's true about you too. Every one of us. Right? God will forgive you. But friend, life is short. And it takes time to qualify for some things. And you don't want to throw it all away. And you know the story here, and this is in here for a reason. He kept on pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and yielding and yielding. Why? Now here's something that sounds almost like a paradox. Why did he keep doing this? Because Samson was so weak. Someone says, weak? Yeah. In his heart, he was weak, even though he was so strong in his body. I know I'd been in the ministry a year or so and was visiting with a fellow that I used to know back in school and everything. And he was saying, he just looking at me every other 5 minutes going, you're a preacher? I said, yeah, I got a call on my life. Well, he wasn't saved yet. And so we're at a little place eating a hamburger, and there's a pretty young girl came by. And he began to ooh and ah and whoa. Boy, she's something. And he looked at me. He said, winked. He said, now, are you telling me that if you had an opportunity to be with her, you wouldn't? I said, no, I wouldn't. He said, bah. He said, are you really? I said, no. He said, you ain't even a man. Well, now, at that point, I wanted us to step outside and demonstrate that there was more to being a man than just that. But I bring that up and I tell it because that mentality is prevalent, and it's even in many, many Christians' minds. And though they don't say it, people actually are proud in a degree of their sin. That they have enough looks or charm or magnetism that they could get any woman, that they could get any man. Don't realize all it proves is how weak you are. Anybody can run and follow their desire. The whole world's doing it. Right? Don't prove that you're anything except weak. I don't like to think that I'm weak. I want to be strong. Oh, come on now. Y'all help me out. Don't get too quiet. Remember what I said? Straight ahead. Smile. Amen, Brother Keith. I don't want to be weak. I don't like to think that all the devil's got to do is shake the carrot in front of me and say, "Ooh, look at there, look at there." And I have to run and grab it. I'm not just a body. I'm a spirit. I'm a recreated spirit. I'm a child of the living God. I'm not driven and controlled by testosterone. Right? I'm not driven and controlled by my desires. I control my desires. They don't control me. Say it out loud. I control my desires. They don't control me. Now here's the thing. People want to play games and act like they're not tempted with something. That won't get you anywhere. Everybody has desires. Anybody can be tempted. Anybody can have a pull on them that part of them wants to do it. Even though you're a child of God, you love God, you still got flesh. You still got a mind. Listen to this. It is not a sin to be tempted. You haven't sinned because you were tempted. You haven't sinned because part of you wanted to do it, and because you were pulled to do it, you haven't sinned. Jesus himself, the Bible said, was tempted in all points just like us. Most people don't believe that, but it's what the Bible says. Any way you've ever been tempted, he was. But yet without sin. What does that mean? He never gave in to it. He never yielded to it. It was there. It pulled on him, but he didn't yield to it. He's my hero. He's strong. Glory to God. He's strong. He did what he was. He told his flesh what to do. Not what it wanted to do. It's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, "But I keep under my body. And I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I've preached to other people, I myself should become a castaway." That's what we were talking about. Disqualified. Paul could have become disqualified from his apostolic call and ministry. He said so. He said, "If I don't keep this body under control, no matter how much I preach to other people, I can wind up disqualified from my place." That didn't mean God would write him off and wouldn't forgive him, but you can disqualify yourself for things. Say it one more time. I control my desires. They don't control me. Is that okay? Let's go on. Can you take some more? You might enjoy some of this better. Go to Luke 22, please. I'm not ready to go to Luke. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and then maybe we'll go to Luke. You don't get free by pretending. Playing games. Acting holier than thou and your life's a mess. You don't get free like that. You've got to be honest with yourself. It takes strength not to run after your flesh when it wants something. It takes strength to say no. 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 Maybe my flesh wants it bad. Maybe my mind wants, maybe my eyes want to see it. My flesh wants it. My flesh wants to do it. But no. And not do it. Not give in to it. It takes strength. But can every child of God have that strength? It's ours. Now Isaiah 40, I want you to notice this. Most of you know this, a lot of you could quote it, but look at it in a little bit different light here. Verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. What if you're weak? What if you faint? You qualify. I said you qualify for him to give you power. Believe you receive it. To them that have no might, I mean you're out of strength, no might. He increases strength to those that have no might. No such thing as a person who's too weak for God to help. He can increase strength in people that have no strength, no might at all. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The strongest of the strong and young run out real quick. But they that do what? Oh, come on now. They that wait upon the Lord. Now that word wait, if you look it up, it's also translated look for or look to. And the idea is with expectation. Those who look to the Lord expectantly and wait on Him, what'll happen? What'll happen? Oh, it's time to get excited. Now what will happen when you look to the Lord and you wait on Him? You will renew your strength. It'll just get stronger and stronger and stronger until you'll just come up off the ground and mount up with wings like eagles and soar over that thing. You will run and run and run and won't get weary. You will walk and walk and walk and walk and walk and won't get faint. What was the key? What does wait on the Lord mean? You're looking to Him expectantly and you're waiting on something from Him. Now let's look at it from this angle. I actually told this story, I guess it was 20 years ago in a youth meeting I was in. They were all looking at me like, who are you? I was new to them. I was a guest speaker. And they were all about driving age. And of course, you know, when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, you got wheels on the brain. And I said, how many been praying for a car? Oh, hands everywhere. Now I got their attention. I said, okay. I said, how many, if you could get a nice, used VW convertible now, today, you are mobile this afternoon. Or wait, W-A-I-T. Wait 5 years and then get a brand new $100,000 Porsche Turbo convertible paid for. I said, who wants the VW now? Well, several of them raised their hand. And then I began to talk to them about premarital sex. Who wants the used VW now? Or who's willing? Who's willing to wait expectantly until you get that great thing that God had planned for you? Oh, come on. Can you see this now? Oh, do you see this? What does it take to wait? It takes strength. Oh, but this is the great thing. If you're willing to put your flesh under and wait, God gives you the strength to do it. He takes the, oh, do you see this? He takes the responsibility to renew your strength and just keep coming up and up and up until the closer you get to it, you just get stronger. Instead of wearing out, you get stronger. But see, you'll be tempted to grab what you can while you can. And the devil will say, hey, you know, if anybody will pay you any attention, you better just grab what you can when you can. Because, hey, life is short. And eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you may be dead. And that kind of attitude will ruin your life, won't it? But there's a scripture in James. It says, let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, friend, I don't care if it's money, if it's success, if it's marriage, if it's ministry, there's a right way and a right time and a right thing, the right connections. But you'll have to believe God and be strong and wait on it. You'll have to put your flesh under. And if the devil sees that you mean business about it and he knows he can't get you to quit, you know what he'll endeavor to do then? Slip a substitute in on you. And try to get, because you want it, and anything that's close to it, you're tempted to grab it. In your heart, you know this is not it. But your flesh wants it so bad. Was it that God didn't want Samson to have an exciting marriage and a wonderful woman? He wanted to deprive him of some of those things that he wanted. No, God had something better for him than Delilah. God can do better than Delilah. I got four people with me. Now the devil will tell you there ain't nothing better than Delilah. But God's got something way better than Delilah. God doesn't, you know, tell you to not do drugs because he wants to take away your fun getting high. He's got something better than drugs. He does. Most people don't believe it, but he does. The Bible says so. Don't get drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's not the end of it, but didn't say you couldn't get high. Didn't say you couldn't get drunk. You're just not supposed to do it with alcohol and with drugs, because they are but a poor, 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 poor substitute for the real thing. And this running around and sleeping with everybody that you can grab, that's a poor, 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 poor substitute for the real thing. God's got the real thing. But see, unbelievers, they go, well, I don't know, I haven't seen anybody, and you know, life is short. And, well, you don't believe God. And you're just weak. And you're going to grab the used VW. But there's a few people. I said, there's a few people that's got some wisdom and says, I'm not grabbing the used VW. No, I can make it 5 years. I can ride with Mama 5 years. Yes, I can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? I can put, no matter how bad my flesh says, just grab it. Just take it now. Just get it. In your heart you go, no, this ain't it. This is not it. Oh, glory to God. How many remember Abraham? He had a covenant with God. God told him he was going to bless him and everything he had and make him a blessing. And God gave them that victory. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah came and are going to give him all this money. And it looks like here comes the money and here comes the blessing. But he knew, this ain't it. Now, and that can work on you, because part of you knows I'm supposed to have this. And this is the closest to it I've ever been and seen. But your spirit says, this is not it. This is not it. Don't take a substitute. Don't settle for less than what completely satisfies your heart. Make do, won't do. If it's not quite, it's not right. Because God has never come to you and said, now I know you were believing for this, but this is the closest I could get to it. I looked and looked. I know you wanted a good looking and smart man, but they are in short supply. And this is the best man I could find for you. I know you were sold and bleed for a big house, but you know the real estate market nowadays is just, and this efficiency was all I could do right now. No, 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 no. You never have to settle for less because it is written. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything, everything you ever asked or thought. And if it's not quiet, if it's not what you were, don't you look at it. Don't you grab it. You stand your ground and say, no. When it comes in from Him, it will be exceeding abundantly above what I was believing for. And if it's not, it's not Him. The devil will tell you, settle for what you got. And be thankful that you got anything. That's preached from pulpits. Thank God, not ours. Yours. But it's preached. Well, just be glad you got anything. That's what the devil will tell you. Well, you better grab whatever attention you can while somebody show you attention. You'll soon be too old and ugly. Nobody will look at you. Life is short. You only go around what? No, this life is not all there is to it. This is the shortest thing we will ever do. This is training for what's coming next. Jesus, in the wilderness, tempted. He was what? Tempted. Is it a sin to be tempted? What does it mean He was tempted? We've given you the definition several times from James. What was happening to Jesus? Every man, including Jesus, is tempted when they are drawn away of their own desires and enticed. Was something pulling on him? It was pulling on him. And notice the biggie that the devil pulled out. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, all these I will give to you. And you can rule and reign over all of them if you'll just fall down and worship me. Now people say, he didn't have that. He couldn't do that. If he couldn't, it wouldn't have been a temptation. And the Bible said it was a temptation. He said, this has been delivered to me, and whoever I want to, I can give it to. And I will give it to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Was Jesus pulled about that? People are afraid to even answer that. The answer is yes. Why? Because He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. It is His destiny to rule and reign over all. Oh, can you see this? Can you see this? So what's the devil doing? He's dangling it. Huh? He's going, you get to rule and reign right now. You don't have to get scourged. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to do just right now. Here it is. Here it is. Oh, but glory to God. His flesh was pulled. He was enticed, but he stood up and said, you get behind me. It is written, you worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you worship. And the devil skedaddled. He was out of tricks. The Bible said He left him for a season. The only reason he'd do that is because he don't know anything else to do. And Jesus went through the scourging. He went through the cross. He went to the heart of the earth. He bore our sins. It was not easy. But when the plan of God is in motion, there are no substitutes for the perfect will and plan of God. And it was hard, and it was tough, and it took some time, and the time is still going. He is not at present personally ruling and reigning over all the kingdoms of the earth, but He will. I said He will. Just as sure as you're sitting here and this world is turning, all the kingdoms of this world shall become His, and He will rule and reign over all of them. And through His faith and through His patience, He will be perfectly satisfied, and every enemy will be under His feet, including death itself. He's my hero. Is He yours? Do you want God's best for your life? Do you want God's highest for your and His great perfect plan for your life? It takes patience to get it. It takes faith and patience to get it, and that takes strength. Your flesh will cry, and it wants to grab this, and it wants to take shortcuts, and the devil will tempt you and say, well, this will be good enough, but you've got to stand up and go, no, no, I will accept no substitutes. I will have God's best in my life. I will stand until I see it. I will wait upon the Lord. And while you're waiting, what did He say He would be doing? If you'd make that decision to wait until you get His best, He has already told you He will renew your strength day in, day out, until after a while you'll just get beyond your strength and you'll reach out your wings and up off this low place you'll come. And we think that a year is a lot of time. It's nothing. Your whole life is just a vapor that's here and gone. A year will pass. 5 years will pass. But the next thing you know, it will really be happening. The actual perfect plan of God will begin to come to pass in your life. And you'll go, oh God, I'm so glad I didn't grab the used VW. Oh God, this is beyond anything I had ever thought or asked. You were strong enough to stand and believe. Can you say amen? You still got Luke? If not, turn there. Luke 22. We talked about what happened with Peter. He warned them. He said, your spirit's willing enough, but weak through the flesh. And he warned them. And he said, you need to watch and pray. But they didn't. Do you see what we were talking about earlier? Yielding to the flesh in one area makes you more prone to yield to the flesh in another area. When they yielded to sleep, it put them closer to yielding to running. You hear that or not? Them overcoming the desire of their flesh to sleep would have put them in the right mode to resist not believing Him and trusting Him and not running. When you start yielding to the flesh, if you just keep doing it, it just keeps getting worse and worse. They didn't get it. They did, all of them, run and leave Him. Peter stood out there by the fire. And he said, you're one of His. He said, no, you got me confused with somebody else. And the woman said, you are, I saw you. You're one of His. And he said, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. And he became adamant and he swore. And he said, I don't know the man. And the rooster crowed. And he went out and cried like a baby. Which all of us know something about that because we've yielded to the flesh. And when we knew what we should have done and we didn't do it, he's crying. And I'm sure he thought it was all over. Why is he crying so bitterly? I think he thinks that's it. His ministry, his part of the work of God. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was even further sobering with him. Because the Lord said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Why say that? Peter's the one who said he wasn't his disciple. And then, when he's talking to him right before he ascended on high, he said, Peter, you love me? He said, yeah. Feed my lambs. And he looked at him again later. He said, you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. The third time, Peter, do you love me? Now, you know all this is going through his mind of him denying him and all these other things. He just says, how many understand this is a vast difference from him saying, I'll never deny you no matter what you say. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you, I think. That's my addition. And so Jesus ascended. But look at what had happened prior to all this. Luke 22:31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now this is before the denial and all this other stuff. How many know God is never behind the enemy? Always ahead. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when, not if. Oh, do you see this? Do we have a faith Jesus or what? Oh, glory to God. How many know we need to have this kind of faith in each other too? And believe he has this kind of faith in us. When you are converted, when you are turned around, when you're straightened up, do what? We're talking about a man that's about to completely lose it and deny the Lord. And Jesus is talking to him about him helping other people get strong. Did you get this or not? I don't care, friend, if you're sitting here and you've messed up so bad, you got so much condemnation, you got so much guilt, you're so ashamed of yourself, you wouldn't be crying any more bitterly than he was after that denial. But Jesus loves you. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He's on your behalf. He's pleading your case. He's on your side. He believes you will overcome. Oh, did you hear this? Now, Jesus has his faith on you. He is counting on you overcoming this. He's counting on you. He's believing in you. He didn't say, if you do this. When you get past this and you get built up and you get strong, then you help strengthen your brothers and your sisters. Help them overcome this too. Do you see this? Do you believe this? Glory be to God.